Welcome to the Morning Struggle Podcast. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Ty. And we bring you habits of successful people. And today we're talking about
how to learn.
Let's learn some stuff. Activate. We're learning stuff this morning.
Yeah, we are.
Because that was take two.
Our first
one was terrible. And now we learned how to do it better. And you're welcome for that amazing intro.
So now you get two.
Well, good morning, everybody. We are The Morning Struggle, and we give you habits of successful people. So we're going to talk about how to learn?
Yes. Well, I realized that over all of the years that we've been doing this, we haven't really broken down how we actually learn.
How the human species learns.
Yeah, there's lots of things that we want you to do. We want you to sleep. We want you to be able to exercise. We want you to be in nature. We have all these things, right? But we haven't really talked about how you actually learn something. And so I figured we would do a full breakdown so that you could take that as a template and apply it to any of our other episodes.
This is great because there is a specific formula for learning.
Yes.
Okay.
Most efficiently, that is.
And we're going to do, so we do a history segment,
mm-hmm.
do our science, what's going on in your brain for learning.
Mm-hmm.
We do a coffee review, and then we got our action plan.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I like, because I am a great learner of all things.
Oh, and so humble.
I have a beginner
so
mindset.
Humble.
So I'm the humblest of the guys. And if you already know everything, you can't learn anything.
Right.
That's my big saying.
Mm-hmm.
I say it all the time because I know everything.
That's
so this is the perfect for me.
Perfect for you. Mm-hmm.
Perfect for me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This episode, I'm not as arrogant as I seem on the podcasts. I'm pretty humble. I'm a good learner.
You are a good learner.
I learn stuff. I'm learning how to bunny hop on my bicycle right now.
Mm-hmm.
Me and all the 8-year-olds down at the skate park are bunny hopping our little legs off.
Well, and the crank flip.
And we're doing like crank flips.
Which is, let me tell you about your shins on that one.
All sorts of things, because we are learning.
We're learning.
You can teach old dogs new tricks.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be grouchy about it.
Mm-hmm.
But
and probably break something.
And probably break something and then have to be put down. But you know what? We're trying our best.
Yep.
So anyway, thanks for joining us. We really, these are great.
It's super fun.
There's a lot of them. There's
yes.
a lot of habits. We're
so
getting to the point now where we have hundreds of habits.
Yeah, and the idea is not that you're taking all of these and applying them right now all the time.
No, you get like 3 weeks and then apply them all and do it perfectly.
No, so the idea is that you're taking these little pieces and incorporating them into your life.
It's like a la carte.
To trying to improve your world. And so an episode might be just pinnacle and be amazing for you, and others might be like, meh, I'm not going to try that.
Okay, but this
totally
one,
fine.
This one, this is like, we should have probably done this on one.
This would have been the first episode,
yeah. But it's
not. We
dropped
the ball. Mm-hmm.
So this one, you're welcome after years of doing this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to tell you how to actually learn. So when you apply all these other habits, that's what we're doing?
That's most efficient.
Efficient learning. All right, here we go. Let's start with the history segment.
This day in history.
What's probably the biggest barrier to learning? I'm going to tell you the answer.
Math.
Math is the biggest barrier to learning?
Yeah, it's hard.
All those angles you got to calculate.
Mm-hmm.
Trigonometry is...
Well, fractions?
Sokotoa, it's so hard. I know. What? That doesn't make any
yes,
sense at all.
It does.
The hardest thing for me
mm-hmm.
is it's hard, or the biggest thing is it's hard to learn new stuff. Like, oh, I'm going to learn a piano. My fingers hurt.
I want to learn something new?
Yeah, drew a triathlon. Oh, my shoulders are sore. I got to learn how to do this crossword puzzle. My brain hurts. We're just whiny beings.
We are whiny beings.
So I'm going to go into the 10 toughest animals in nature. This is a top 10 list. You're all welcome.
Yeah,
this is
back.
This is what you love. All right?
Yes.
You ready? So when you're sitting there and you're saying, I want to learn how to knit hats, just like Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, oh, but it hurts my fingers so much. Think back to this list of animals.
Get yourself a spirit animal or like a mascot, personal mascot.
Personal mascot,
one.
Like in the personal mascot
one
episode.
Of these guys.
And then say, okay, if these animals are doing these things, I can knit a hat.
Mm-hmm.
And you get your fierceness on.
Mm-hmm.
First one, mountain goats. They live at altitudes of 13,000 plus feet.
Whoa.
I can't breathe at 13,000 feet. Feet. And these guys are finding food and hanging out. And this is a little picture of a baby goat.
Oh.
There's even baby goats up there. So when you sit
and
there
and say,
I can't learn how to hike mountains, baby goats. Just think of think
goats.
Of baby goats. Mountain goats or Oriamnos americanus.
Okay.
I'm gonna do all the Latin names too.
Of course you are.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm pretty smart. I can look stuff up on the internet. They live in the Alpine region, such as the Rocky Mountains, the Cascade Mountains, and the Alaska Chukgaw Mountains. Chukgaw? Mountains? I don't know what it is. But anyway, They eat like sedges, like grasses, sage, plants. They eat everything. They're goats. Mm-hmm. They'll eat your garbage. When you go up there and you put your flag on there and say, I finally conquered this area, and there's a goat says, I've been living here for a long time.
I'm going to eat that
My father lived here, and my father's father lived here, but I'm glad you conquered it for your species.
That's the thing, is it's so funny when you're hiking and you're so, like, you're trying to get to the top, mm-hmm. and you're so, like, it's tired and you're sweating and it's been like a really long day.
And your Patagonia coat is not looking good on you anymore.
Not anymore because you got the sweat stain going, right? But you're up there and then you come upon like a goat and he's just like, what are you doing? Says, you're right, buddy?
Says, don't you live down where the lazies live? We call you people down there the lazies.
Yeah.
So anyway, and in summer they eat coniferous trees and leaves.
What's a coniferous?
In the winter, they'll eat that. The leafy trees. They eat leafy trees in the mountains.
Your hand gestures are not...
That's leafy trees. My hands are going up and down like I'm juggling.
Yeah.
But anyway, the hooves of the mountain goats are two toes, and they spread out. They give them balance.
Oh.
And they have a little pad on the bottom of each toe uh-huh. to give them better traction.
Oh.
They can jump 12 feet.
What?
I'm more like billy goats than I thought. I can almost jump 12 feet, too.
You cannot.
I could probably jump 12 feet long if I ran really fast.
What are you talking about?
Maybe I'm
going
to learn it. Maybe I'm going to learn how to
That's
jump 12
true.
Feet.
That's
You're going to tell me how to do it. Next one, Arctic fox. They can live at 58 degrees below zero.
No.
I get cold when there's a slight breeze at normal temperature. Mm-hmm. 58 degrees. So anyway, Allopex, Lygopus.
Minus 58 degrees?
Minus 58 Jeez, degrees. Allopex lagopus, a.k.a. the polar fox, lives in the frozen tundra of the Arctic. That's the northern hemisphere, where Santa lives. They are super tough.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking 50 to 60 mile an hour winds, sub-freezing temperature, not a lot of food, polar bears.
Mm-hmm.
They're meanies. Mm-hmm. And the Arctic fox is a little guy, but he's got a bright white coat of thick fur designed to trap air. That's how they survive. They have their little puffy fur. They walk mm-hmm. around all puffy.
Mm-hmm.
Got their fur coats on. And then they create burrows. They go in the snow. They got really good hearing, uh-huh. so they can hear other animals in their burrows
uh-huh.
and then dig them out
Ooh.
And eat them. They also live off of scraps of polar bears and wolves and all the actual apex predators up there. They can also eat berries and insects and reptiles.
Oh, so they eat everything. That's why they can survive so well.
They eat everything. They're sly. They're mm-hmm. sly foxes. The next one. Bactrian camel.
What?
Yeah, a camel.
A camel.
But not the one hump camel, the two hump camel.
Okay.
Camellius bactrinius.
Okay.
I'm getting close on these.
Mm-hmm.
When you can email me and say, whew, you need
Latin.
To learn the Latin. But anyway, they can live in extremely hot temperatures of the Gobi Desert in Central Asia. They drink up to 30 gallons of water in 13 minutes.
Whoa.
Yeah. I have trouble drinking my 8 ounces or my 8 glasses of water a day, let alone.
He's just like chugging it mm-hmm. down.
They don't sweat very much because mm-hmm. they need to keep it in. Mm-hmm. Like they said, they got the two humps. Did you know in the camel's hump, it's not water.
It's fat.
It's fat. They've got fat in there. And they can live 6 to 7 months without having to refill their water supply in their hump.
Whoa,
their fat
that
supply
long?
In their hump. Yep. They're herbivores, but they're not too good to eat carcasses that they come upon in the desert.
I would think if you're in an extreme environment, you're kind of open to whatever you gotta
yep.
eat.
They'll even eat your sandals and your tent. So you gotta make sure your camels are fed and watered. Next one, you ready? The giraffe. Yep. The giraffe can live up to 3 weeks without drinking water, period.
Oh.
So even if it doesn't have water, because you wanna know, this one's a crazy one. When you think of the giraffe or Giraffa camelopardalis.
Okay.
That's a mouthful, can mm-hmm. survive up to 3 weeks without drinking water. They eat moisture-filled leaves from acacia trees.
Yeah.
Acacia trees. But that's how mainly they get a lot of their water
uh-huh.
because they're 14 feet tall for the females, 18 feet tall for the males.
Jeez.
And when they go to drink water out of a drinking hole or a stream,
mm-hmm.
they are in a super vulnerable position with their neck.
Yeah, because they have to bend over like a triangle.
They have to spread their legs out. That is not evolution. I don't know how they survived. But they don't do that very often because then the crocodile comes up and snaps them.
Mm-hmm.
Or the lion comes up behind them and gets them.
Mm-hmm.
Or the babies, whatever. So that's why they can live so long without water.
Oh.
They have an adaption, so they don't have to go down to the stream every 15 minutes and be like, well, hopefully nothing gets me on this one. Next one, crocodile. We talked about crocodiles sapping up giraffes.
Because they're a monster.
Now we got crocodiles. Can survive 3 years without eating food.
What? What?
Yep.
Because they can go in like that. What is it? Not sedative state, but it's like a, they hang out and they can like go to sleep.
Yeah. Like a hibernation state.
Yeah. Hibernation. Yep.
So,
yeah.
So crocodilinae is their Latin subspecies or whatever.
Okay.
They live in areas of Asia, Africa, North America, and Australia. They can slow their metabolisms and they can float for a long time without moving. So they just essentially freeze themselves and
they just
float along in the water.
Mm-hmm. And they don't have many predators against them once they're big.
Yep.
So they can just hang out.
And then they just go dormant and then they can live off their own tissues because their metabolism's so slow.
That's
when they
crazy.
Do eat, they're carnivores because they eat birds, boar, deer, fish, kids, whatever comes across the riverbanks.
It is actually super sad. They are literal dinosaurs.
They haven't really evolved. And they will eat you. You're going to be crazy. And they have strong jaws. They take their prey, they take it to the bottom, they drown it, and then they eat it whole.
Ew.
Why do you need to chew? I keep telling all the moms, kids don't need to chew their food. Just let them have it. Live and have at it.
No.
Next one, honey badger. You heard of honey badgers?
They're scary little animals too.
They're scary little animals. And they fight predators way bigger than them all the time. So again, when you're saying, this is too hard, think of the honey badger. And
be
say,
honey badger.
Honey badger is only 3 feet long. It only weighs between 13 and 30 pounds.
What?
And it's taken down lions, maybe. I don't know. How does it attack it?
Is it like a little bulldog?
Melivora capensis.
Okay.
They don't back down from anything, even a lion or a leopard. I was right. You ready? So they are 3 feet long, 13 to 30 pounds. They have claws and long in their front feet, and nice sharp teeth. And they can whirl around and bite predators that grab them.
Well, their little hissing is super scary. They get all puffy.
And they are related to the skunk. So they actually release an odor that is not very pleasant.
Oh.
So when you're the lion trying to grab the honey badger, he gives you a little skunk squirt.
And
you say, this is not worth it at all.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know this?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know this. They have a fondness for honey and honey larvae.
Oh, is that why they...
Maybe that's why they're called honey badgers.
Honey badgers?
So anyway, they eat amphibians, berries, birds, insects, and roots.
Oh.
All right, next one. Jaguar. Jaguar.
Jaguar?
Jaguar. See, I'm not great with the Latin. Isn't jaguar Latin?
It is not.
Jaguar is Latin for big cat. That's not true. They can pull a 500-pound deer into a tree.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever been hunting, those deer, forget elk, just a little baby deer. I've seen people throw those things on their shoulders. I couldn't even drag it nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're big animals. And you're talking a jaguar, which is like a 250-pound cat.
Yeah, they're big.
But to pull it up in a tree?
Yeah.
I can't even climb a tree by myself. He's pulling a deer in there.
Well, they're pretty clever, right? Isn't that
they're always the ones who escape the zoos.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We had a zoo here, a leopard escape. They had a zoo, I can't remember, recently, in the last few months, they had another animal escape, and it was a leopard.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, it was the We Bought a Zoo movie.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And we read the real story, and they said,
the bear
didn't get out, but the leopard did.
Yeah.
The leopards are always getting out, and then they're just hanging out.
Yeah, they're not attacking things.
No, they just want some space because they need to find some deer to drag into trees. Anyway, Panthera onca is not the biggest cat in the world, but the toughest.
Mm.
This article is saying it's the toughest. So if you're a tiger person or you're a lion person, too bad.
Yeah,
because this Nature article said no. Most large cats kill their prey by biting their neck or their throat, but the jaguar uses his ultra strong teeth and jaws to crush its victim's skull. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the jaguar den. Teeth can also penetrate a tortoise's shell or thick scales of a crocodile. So we talked about crocodiles. Crocodile sitting there hibernating, sleeping.
Yeah.
The jaguar comes up and its teeth are strong enough to cut through the armor of the crocodile.
And crush its skull.
And crush the skull
Holy
of tortoises
mackerel.
Or tortoise shells. They hunt their prey in three to four times their size.
Oh. Yeah,
so you're talking cattle and deer. They live in tropical rainforests, savannas, grasslands of South and Central America. So if you're down there or you live there, be careful of the jaguars.
Be careful.
They grow to be 6 feet and weigh 250 pounds.
Jeez.
So a little bigger than me.
A little bigger than our cats.
A little bigger than our little cats. Next one, I got a couple more. Am I going long? I'm always going long. Black mamba. Black mambas. The venom is the most toxic on Earth. Dendrophis. Polylepis.
Nailed it.
Southern and eastern parts of Africa, the black mamba lifts a third of its body off the ground when it's threatened.
Would you just die if that happened? Would you just die?
Spreads its neck hood.
Oh, God.
and then opens its black mouth. That's where it gets the black mamba. It's got a black inside of its mouth.
So if you're able to see inside its mouth, you're done.
Yeah, if you are within striking distance, predators are owls, vultures, and mongoose. So, but this snake eats everything. Other snakes, mice, squirrels, people, it doesn't matter. The snake's venom kills a predator within 20 minutes, and it doesn't just bite you and then run off. It bites you, and it bites you, and it bites you, and it bites you, and it says, I'm going to keep biting you until you die, and then I'm going to eat you.
I think you'd have a heart attack right before that. You wouldn't, it wouldn't need to bite you at all.
They eat cobras. If you say, oh, you're a black mamba, have you met the king cobra? It says, yes, I had it for breakfast, and it was delicious. Next one, dung beetle. This is, I think, oh, I got two more.
The dung beetle.
The dung beetle is amazing. It lives everywhere. Everywhere in the world.
Is that the one that rolls the poo?
Scarabaeus vietti. Mm-hmm. And it rolls poo. It weighs less than 3.5 ounces and measures just 3 to 4 inches long. So it's a pretty big beetle.
Yeah.
But it can roll a ball of dung 200 times its own weight.
Whoa.
Imagine if you weigh 100 or 200 pounds, 4,000 pounds. Am I doing that right? 40,000 pounds?
A lot of pounds.
Wow. That is a lot of pounds.
If you are weightlifting, think of the dung beetle.
Yeah. Think of the dung beetle. Right? 40,000 pounds. You're sitting there bench pressing all the weights. They live in every continent except for Antarctica. They eat dung and or lay eggs in it. Oh, so they get their ball and then that's their food and their nest. It may seem gross, but it's actually very pertinent and important for the ecosystem because it clears out a lot of the dung.
You need the ones that eat and deteriorate the poo.
This is my favorite line, though. It's important to keep the land clean and free of pests. Aren't dung beetles pests?
No, because they're helping clean it. They're the garbage.
So they're the okay pests. The last one, gorilla. 20 times stronger than a human. Ooh. No dung beetle. Mm-hmm. No dung beetle, but pretty dang strong. Mm-hmm. And you want to know what I hated most about this one?
What?
They're vegetarians.
Are they?
Yeah. It's saying you don't have to be a meat eater to be strong.
Beautiful society, too.
They do, and we are destroying it. Gorillas, or the Latin gorilla, twenty times strength of an adult man. They can be 4 to 6 feet tall and weigh 440 pounds. Again, a little bit bigger than me, but not by much. They live in the forests of Africa, specifically the Congo Basin. They're very gentle animals with a preference for snacking on ants, bamboo shoots, fruits, and grubs.
Huh.
They will also kill each other if threatened. So two males get together and they fight to the death. Eastern gorillas and Western gorillas. So you got gorillas in the east and the west.
Okay.
But they only live in a really small concentrated area. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like a city, like east side, west side.
Ooh,
I'm
and
an
then
east
they,
side gorilla,
they dance
I'm a west side. And then they do their little snapping things and they do that song, you know, they spin around each other. There's only 1,000 mountain gorillas left, which is a subset of the eastern gorillas. There's only a few, 4,000 maybe eastern gorillas. There's probably a lot of western gorillas because they didn't talk about it, but they're all threatened. But they share 98% of our DNA.
That's awesome.
That's why they seem so human.
Yeah.
And that's also why we use them to test things, which were gross. Majority of the time, they're eating. They're herbivores, but their diet does consist mainly of plants. So they eat snails, ants, and larvae. So that's their non-vegetarian snacks.
Oh.
16 different types of calls.
That means they have vocal cords and
they have actual kind of languages.
Yeah.
Which is pretty impressive. They're social animals and they love sleeping in piles.
Aww.
And they can live up to 40 years in the wild.
Oh.
I don't think I could live 40 days in the wild.
Probably
so,
not.
There you
that's
go.
Okay.
There is my segment of all the animals. I was super long again.
This is great though. This is the top 10.
Okay.
Top 10 type.
You know what? I'm not going to say I'm super long anymore. I'm just, this is the depth of my,
this is the,
new the length
time.
Of my history segments. Mm-hmm. But there's your animals. All of them are crazy, brave, strong, fierce, whatever.
Black mamba.
When you're learning a new thing, do your personal mascot, grab it and say, I'm going to be like the black mamba and I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep striking this baby because it's so scary to me. Right?
No, you're going to, like the dung beetle, you're going to take out the trash.
You're going to take out the trash, but you're going to learn. You're going to learn how to do whatever skill or whatever habit that you're putting your mind to.
Exactly.
You're going to be tenacious about it.
Yeah.
They're tenacious animals. Okay, well, let's get into the science. You'll talk about the brain and then coffee and then the steps to take to learn and implement it the fastest and most efficiently.
Absolutely.
Here we go. Go, I don't go. I don't go. I don't go. Go, 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 go
So these are the elements that make it so we can actually keep information in our head longer. And then the action plan, I'm going to have you go through the steps of it. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
Okay, so first, teaching another person the topic is one of the best ways to learn, because you have to know it thoroughly in order to tell the other person what to do.
Even if you're not an expert in it.
Yes, even if you're not an expert, even if you guys are actually learning together, yeah, you can be like, okay, so this is the information I have, what's the information you have, and then you guys bring it together, and you're actually both teachers and students in that scenario.
What? Teacher-student combos?
Yeah.
All right, I like it.
More than likely, one person's going to have more information than the other, and so that's going to be offset a little bit, but it's a good way to do it.
So let people who don't know very much teach you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Also, we want to be able to take written notes or cues. So you can either do this by actually writing it down, having a visual, it helps you have a visual picture of what's going on. This is called a mental representation. And so people, like if you're learning to do the crank flip, you're going to watch a video of that because you need a mental representation of what you're supposed to be doing, because you're not going to be anywhere near that when you start.
A crank flip is when you're on your bike, you jump up, spin your cranks, and then land back on your cranks.
Which is harder than you think.
Oh, it's so hard.
Yeah. And it's so funny because you were like, I should be able to do this. Why am I not able to do this? So, but you need a visual representation. And videos, if you're doing a physical skill, is a big one. Musicians do the same thing where they listen to a song.
Okay.
So you want to make sure that you have what it's supposed to look like.
So either write it down or see it. That's where like the mentoring, if someone's showing you how to do it, or you're writing it down with pencil.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And actually having like, this is step one, this is step two. And you can also film yourself, and we'll get into that a little bit of being able to compare the two.
So you film yourself, you put it on Instagram, so everybody loves you.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Nope. But okay. We want to break the goal down into chunks, but it's a little different than one might think. So like in grade school, when you're learning how to write, they'll break down letters, A, B, C, D, and you'll learn that letter, and that letter's the letter that you learned that week, and you learn how to write it in uppercase and lowercase. That's called block learning.
Block learning.
That actually isn't very efficient.
What?
Yeah.
So everything you're learning in school, forget it. When your teacher says, let's learn our letters, you say, Jesse said, this is stupid.
No, don't say that. Well, I didn't say that.
Okay.
But the block, that's traditionally how we're teaching skills. And what they're finding is that interleaving learning is better.
Let's go into interleaving learning.
And I feel like it should be named something different, but this is what it is. So what it is, interleaving is where instead of going, this is step one, this is step two, this is step three, you are mushing things together. So there's not really like learning in stages.
Okay.
You're doing it all together. So like if I'm learning my alphabet, instead of going A, B, C, D, E, F, G, because zero words are spelled that way.
Right.
Right. You're going A, and then you're going to go, maybe you will go a B, but then you're going to go to I, and then you're going to move around the system.
Okay.
Because what it does is it makes it, or it helps your brain discern between similar concepts more easily, because you have more flexibility in your learning.
Okay. All right. It makes sense.
Because with block learning, you have this very systematic retrieval. A or B comes after A. And so it makes it really rigid, and it becomes mindless. And so your brain actually stops paying attention. And I'll tell you more about that in a second. But with the interleaving type of learning, where you're mushing it all together in more real world type concepts, you're actually continually keeping the brain engaged.
So if you're learning the piano, instead of knowing all the scales and everything before you learn a song, you maybe learn a few notes and implement into a song. And then you learn a few more notes into a song. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So yeah. And you can learn scales. Scales are obviously great. It helps you pinpoint where.
But don't learn all the scales before you start any songs.
You should actually learn those together. And that's the interleaving type learning.
Okay.
And it's actually, that's funny that you bring that up, because music is like that. Music naturally does this with interleaving learning, and that's one of the very basic ideas why they brought it into like handwriting and things like that, because block learning was traditionally how we taught in school, and now they're moving into more how you would teach music.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, so it's part of that short-term memory system and then being able to retrieve it. Okay?
Makes sense.
The next one is small breaks enhance focus. And so originally what the thought was that we have a short attention span, and that
7 minutes or something. We went to a conference and they told us 7 minutes. Is that true?
Yeah, it is about 7 minutes, but it's not, you're not taking the breaks because of your short attention span, because you're not resetting your attention span with the breaks.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So you're not doing that. So what you're actually doing, so there's a, an interesting effect that happens. So there's, it's called the Troxler fading. And I want you to imagine, so there's like a red dot, and then around the outside is a blue kind of mushy circle.
Okay.
Okay.
Like an outer glow circle.
An outer glow circle. So if you focus in on the red dot long enough, your brain is actually going to eliminate the blue circle.
So you just see a red dot, you don't see a blue circle.
Yes.
Okay.
Because what's happening is that when you pay attention to the same stimulus for long enough, your brain regards it as unimportant.
It filters it out.
Yeah, it filters out. So I'm focusing on my red dot. For whatever reason, that red dot's really important, but the blue is not. So my brain eliminates it. So the same thing happens with our thought process. If we're like cramming for a test, if you're trying to slam all that information into your brain is like, well, this is not really relevant. I mean, because everybody's gotten to that point where you're trying to learn something.
And you just can't learn anymore.
And nothing is getting in your brain. It's because your brain is too focused on it where it goes, well, this isn't really important. You're spending too much time on it.
Right.
Right? So it actually eliminates it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's not resetting your attention span like we thought. It was actually making it so it's all important.
Okay. To our brain. So that's what it's doing. It's resetting your filters.
It's resetting the filter, going, hey, brain, we're still paying attention to this.
This blue circle's important, brain.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop making it unimportant.
Keep it together, man. Yeah, so the Troxler fading. We're trying to eliminate Troxler fading. And then sleep is imperative. So people who have odd sleeping schedules or off of the basic pieces.
So you're talking shift workers, night nurses, policemen.
Yeah, I would say, because kind of, I mean, when I was at the hospital at night shift, I was the most inefficient memory keeper of all time. I wasn't learning anything.
You forgot where we lived all the time. I had to go find you. No, just wandering around the streets.
It was a rough time. Some people, their sleep cycles actually work in that opposite way. And that's fantastic. But the majority of humans are not like that. So what sleep does is it consolidates short-term memories into long-term ones. So if you're trying to remember something for a test or make it a lifelong skill, you're going to want to be able to sleep.
Okay,
it's important.
So we've talked about that before in other episodes. You have to sleep, and that's where learning is ingrained into your brain.
Yeah, and because sleep has a restorative effect. And what it's actually doing is it's clearing the byproducts of our neural activity. So like you know how you'll remember like specific things in a day, but you don't remember what you ate for breakfast? Like,
yeah, sure.
Those different things. Well, it's because breakfast wasn't really all that important. So when you're sleeping, you'll eliminate that information because you don't need it, but you will remember the way that you went to work because it was more efficient or something.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So it clears the byproducts, which is that restorative effect and that like feeling where we're like, our brain feels cleared. And then do you remember the default mode network?
The DNM.
DMN.
Yep, that's what I wanted
to
say.
That's the one. So when our brain is at rest or is about to rest, so it's the time periods right before we go to sleep and then right as we wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So that all those different networks are actually activated around sleep cycles.
Okay.
And what this does is it's relaxes your brain enough so you can associate seemingly unrelative concepts or ideas. So like if you're trying to problem solve, this is the network that you want to activate because it's your creative network.
The DMN is your creative network.
It's the creative network.
We talked about the perfect kills creative or whatever, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So the executive network is your problem solving.
Right.
Right. So all of those networks are engaged if you're trying to problem solve, but the DMN is what makes you creative about it.
So if you don't sleep, you're not creative.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. Because it gives your brain time to do that. And that's where you come up with these like wild ideas.
We talked about it. Rocket socks.
Yeah. Rocket socks. Yeah. Rocket socks. Yeah. So these ideas that don't seemingly match together,
mm-hmm.
you can come up with these really cool concepts and then your executive brain can take that moving forward and problem solve it, make it happen. But that the DMN is the thing that really makes it click. So if you're learning something and you want to be creative about it, like if you need a certain motion in your body to do something more efficiently, or you need something, a creative element of anything, which is always learning, right? You need that DMN network to be activated so that you can create that so that your executive function can take it from there.
Okay, so you practice, 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 and then you sleep on it.
And then you sleep on it.
And then your DMN comes around and makes it great.
It makes it great. You have your short-term memory, which is the short-term learning, moves into long-term learning, and then it also clears anything that's irrelevant. And that's why we want to make sure that we're interleaving learning and not block learning, because our brain gets tired of block learning
and will throws it out.
It will actually eliminate it, yes. And so in sleep, if we're interleaving in our learning style, then it'll keep it because it's still relevant.
Yeah, that's why I forget my alphabet all the time. All right, and I have to sing my song. It's crazy. Maybe. If you say what letter comes after O, well, O is an easy one, but what letter comes after L, you might have to sing the song, which is ridiculous. It's only 26 letters.
That's it, and that's why it's block learning, because you have to be in that sequence in order to know it. But if you learned your alphabet, which is more what people are doing now, if you learn it in a different sequence, you're more likely to be able to retrieve a letter out of order of the alphabet.
See, what a, it's, I love this.
Isn't this crazy?
I love this. So this, and you're going to tell us how to implement this?
Yeah, how to actually make it work.
Okay.
Because this is all nice knowledge, but how do we make it work?
Yeah. Okay. I love that. All right. So first we're going to do coffee review.
Yes.
We do coffee reviews here. Mm-hmm. We do flavored coffee only.
No, we don't. This just happens to be what we're doing.
All right. But we're going to do coffee review. Then you're going to tell us how to implement this. So when we listen to our other habits or we want to pick up something new, we can be super successful.
Yes.
All right. Here we go. I drank pots and pots and pots and pots of strong black coffee, trying to keep my sleepy soul awake. But the sleepiness still comes along, and when it does, it's fast and strong. I end up with a bad case of the shakes. All right, coffee.
Coffee. Whew. Review. You, this one was rough.
Jessie's in charge of getting our coffee. So she sources our coffee. She goes to the volcanic mountains of Brazil.
Yeah, I do.
And says, I need coffee for our segment. Mm-hmm. And they say, would you like me to spray all the flavors on the coffee? And she says, well, of course. And that's what we've been drinking.
So here's the thing. It's not that I'm going for actually flavored coffee. It's the bags. And this one is part of the Nightmare Before Christmas, which I was very excited about.
So she got the Nightmare Before Christmas Bones Coffee Company line. How many of them? Six of them, maybe?
I think six came in the box, yeah.
And little sampler packs.
And it is, I'm still thankful that I got it. This is it's my favorite thing. It's my favorite movie.
Yeah.
The Nightmare Before Christmas.
So and the bags are amazing. And it's a Disney product.
Beautiful artwork.
Love your Disney. Yeah, okay, I get it.
This one is called Frog's Breath.
Yep.
And it is pretty close to what
it sounds like.
Yeah.
Look, these coffees are not bad. They're just very flavored.
Very flavored.
Very, very flavored. So if you like your French roast, if you like your Kona blend, if you like your coffee to taste like coffee, this is not for you. Mm-mm. But if you want to put a bunch of sugar and cream in it, maybe blend it up with some ice cream, sure. This would probably be okay.
This one was rough though. So so the Frog's Breath, it is the Nightmare Before Christmas coffee through the Bones Coffee Company. Beautiful bag. Love it. Yep. It's a medium roast and it's a chocolate mole.
Chocolate mole, which is a, like this chili tomato sauce. You get like a mole sauce at the restaurants.
That's exactly what you'd want in your coffee in the morning.
Every day I wake up, I say, you know what? I could use an enchilada.
A real big smothered enchilada. I really wanted this to be good because it has Sally on the front.
Yep.
I love Sally. I think she's
the
fantastic
character from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it is wonderful, but it is definitely flavored. So what would you like to give it on the
just below
aroma?
Threes. Just below threes for me.
What would it, just below threes? What does
2.75.
That mean? 2.75. Oh my gosh. Why do you make it so complicated? On all of it?
Sure.
Hold
no,
on.
I'll give
no,
it,
so
I'll
aroma
give it a C.
Is
C.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
Yep.
I'm going to throw things at you.
At the end, 2.9 Foxtrot Romeo. 2.9
okay, so I'm going to do 2.75 in the aroma. The acidity?
All of it. 2.75 across the board for me.
Even the bag?
Just below. No, the bag, I gave it a 5.
The bag is very pretty.
Okay. So anyway.
It's pretty. It's good.
It's not. I actually like this one more than some of the other ones.
Did you really?
Yeah, it's fine. It's got a chocolatey flavor and spice. But look, these are not bad. we are grading harsh because do you like your Kirkland brand bean that is over roasted?
And you can drink it all day long.
Yeah.
And it's all the exact same. It is fine.
Yeah.
But the bag is really nice. And so if you're giving it as a gift, ooh, it's very cute.
Okay. There you go. So there you go. Bones Coffee Company.
Yeah.
Like I said, if flavored coffee is your thing and you like the bags, absolutely go mm-hmm. for it. But don't be expecting some high quality roast. That's it.
Ooh, I don't know about that. It's a high quality roast, but it's flavored.
Okay.
It has things
fair
on
enough,
it.
Fair enough.
Lots
if you're looking for a very flavored coffee, that's your...
But we really liked the rough weather.
Yeah,
was better.
It was an oatmeal cream pie or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that one, so, yeah. Which I never would have purchased. See, so we're venturing out.
Okay, there you go.
This is perfect. We're venturing
into... That's it for the Bones Coffee Company, though.
It is not. We have one more.
Oh, gosh.
I know.
Okay, but let's get back into learning.
We're going to get into learning. And we're learning, see?
So we're learning
what
we like.
Knowledge.
And you know what? If we didn't get them, we would just be drinking the same coffee over and over again.
Yeah, you and I are repetitive.
Falling into a rut, not mm-hmm. learning anything new. And mm-hmm. so, yes, thank you very much for broadening horizons.
You see?
But let's get into action plan. So you can tell us exactly how we go about learning the most efficient way.
Yes.
Because I've got 87 episodes to get through and I need to do every single one now. Mm-hmm. And Jesse's going to tell you how to do that.
No.
Here we go.
Let's hope you make the most of it, my boy.
Action plan.
Action plan me up.
Okay, so first you need to have a clear goal. You need to know what you're going to learn. This is the same as the assessment piece. Like, what are we actually bringing to the table here?
All right, so what are you trying to actually learn?
Yep, and so my crank spin. That's
your what?
The one. My crank spin.
Your cranks, oh, on your mountain bike.
Yeah, that's going to be
you
my
jump
goal.
Up, you flip your crank around and you land on it.
Yep. And it's, yeah, exactly. I mean, it sounds cool. It looks cooler than you're describing it.
All the 8-year-olds at the bike park are doing it.
They're gonna be like, what?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's my clear goal, right? I have a mental representation of it. I've seen a video of it, and I need to know why I'm gonna do it. So is it actually something I need to learn, like for a career or, you know, actual skill development, or is it an intrinsic motivation? So is it something that's fun or pleasurable?
Okay, so do we need this for our livelihood, or is it just something we want to do?
Yeah.
So, you don't need to know how to play the piano unless you're a professional piano player.
Then you should probably
no
know.
Time at my work if they said it's life or death. Play us Fear Elise. I said, I know that song.
I know how to do that one. Yeah, so but you need to know why you're doing it, because then when you start giving up, because you will, at mm-hmm. some point, you're going to want to give up. You can go, oh, no, I really need to learn this for my job. Or I really need to learn this because I want to look awesome okay. on a mountain bike.
All right. I like
Yeah. So that kind of thing. Again, the mental representation. So there's two pieces of this. There's having one of what it actually should look like. So like, I'm going to look at a video. I'm going to listen to the song, whatever it is.
I'm going to watch the 8-year-old kid do his crank spin.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And nail it. They nail it. Mm-hmm. Ugh. It's just so perfect. But so you're going to watch them do that. And then you're going to film yourself.
Okay.
Okay? And you're going to see the difference. Because funny thing is, we think that we improve really quick. We actually don't make that much improvement.
You know, you think you make a big old change.
And you're like, this
you say,
is totally different.
I totally kicked that other foot so far. And you look at the video and it's the exact same thing over and over again.
Yeah, exactly. So we want to be able to compare the two.
Okay.
And so it's important that you have both sides of it. Even if you just have a buddy and you're like, nail that one. And they're like, no. Like a very honest buddy.
Golf swings are a big one too.
If
you're a golfer and you film your swing, you say, ooh, I don't look very good when I swing the golf club. Okay.
And you wouldn't know that because it feels a certain way, but it
feel like you're Tiger Woods.
Powering through it. But yeah. Okay. So then we want to eliminate block learning and move into interleaving. So we're going to start with the goal that is our small goal, and then we're going to try to process through it. So I'm not going to sit there and jump off my pedals a bunch of times, right? And
right.
then move into trying to flip it, but I'm sitting, this kind of thing. We're going to try to do the whole action in whatever sequence. So like with music, for example, you can learn a scale, but I also want you to learn a song.
Okay.
Okay.
So you can block learn. So you can jump off your pedals. You can spin your crank
yeah,
while sitting.
But we also need to interleave in some way.
Okay. So then you try everything.
You're going to try everything together. So if it's like a trick you do on your mountain bike, you probably need to do it in sequence, right?
Right.
But if it's music, you're going to want to learn all of those notes and in different ways so that it's not so rigid
okay.
to the scale.
All right. Makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that, and then I want you to be thoughtful in your practices. So what I like, and this is your saying too, you have a lot of sayings I've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
Yes.
So we want to be thoughtful and be mindful through the process. There's no way to cram information into your brain faster. You actually need to do this in small, having small breaks, having, going to sleep at some point, right? And that's the Traxler fading. Like we, or Traxler?
Yeah.
Traxler.
Okay.
Fading, that we want to make sure that we're taking these breaks. And kind of the best sequence for our brains as human beings is 25 minutes of work with 5 minutes of rest.
Okay, so do something for 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a sequence, right? I can just do a part of something. So
yeah.
I can play like one part of a song.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Or I can do one stitch on my knitting. Or I could do one portion of my golf swing, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can do that. But then I want you to be able to take a break and move through the, and like take a 5 minute break and then go back to it. And then either add to it. If it's like a golf swing, there's a sequence to that, right?
But even then, if you break it just into sequences, you never have any flow.
It's
always different. That's why sequencing doesn't always work.
Well, and you can actually get a hitch in your swing based on sequencing. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe throw in some full stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But focus on that one sequence.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So you can focus on that one sequence, but make sure that it's fluid through the motion.
Okay.
So like you can be like, I'm going to work on the entry, I guess, of a swing, because I know a lot about
golf. Sure. I don't know much about golf.
The entry of it, like that can be focused about where my club is or whatever, that kind of thing. But then I also want you to fully sequence it through so that you don't get a hitch in that specific section.
I like it.
Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Okay. So the 25 minutes of work, 5 minutes of rest. And then I want you to check back to your mental representation. So go back to the original, what you want it to look like, and then what you look like. And go back and forth and back and forth, because that's the only way to actually improve.
Mm-hmm.
Is if you understand what you're actually trying to do and then seeing where you're at in the process. You have to continually assess. People, that's actually kind of a rough part, because you have to be really honest with yourself about how much progress you're actually making, and it might not be a lot.
Right.
So if you really want to do the skill, and that's why we have that knowing why we're doing it, you have to be able to properly assess and move through that sequence over and over and over, because learning is hard work.
Learning is tough.
Yeah.
I get it. Yep.
And so you have to be able to do this over and over. And that's where this growth mindset comes in, or like you say, the beginner mindset. So to be great at something, you have to be new. You have to do it, and you have to do it over and over. And the hardest part of getting a growth mindset, actually, and a beginner mindset, is when you already have information. So if you're already a pro golfer and someone's trying to teach you something in your swing, you're less likely to soak that up, even if you want to learn whatever that is.
Right.
And so you might be a pro at it. You might have a lot of information, but if you're trying to learn something, your brain actually shuts off if you think you know everything.
It's crazy. And if you have kids, your kids will tell you what you're doing wrong. And you go, I've been doing this a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you film yourself and you say, my child's a genius.
My child.
They are a coaching guru.
But you have to be willing to accept that feedback,
right?
Even if it's from a child saying, this is how you spin your crank.
Right.
Right? And I'm just like, no, I have been riding a bike for years,
You can't
sir.
Even drive, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to have that growth mindset. And whoever is teaching you probably has more information because they're not physically in your body.
Or just different. Yeah, they have they're the video camera. They have external information and just different information.
Yeah.
Okay.
So keeping that growth mindset is the best way for you to be able to actually learn the skill, and the fastest way. Because if you're fighting yourself the whole time, only little bits of information is actually hitting that executive network. But if you have a beginner mindset, you're way more open to more information. And as you go along that DMN, the default network, if you're resting more, if you're paying attention more, if you're just kind of like, oh, I'm learning this skill. If you're in that growth mindset, you'll actually absorb all of that quicker because that network is also on.
Okay.
So pretty wild, right? So, okay. So to...
Are we recapping? You ready?
This is recap.
All right. So what's your goal?
Clear goal.
Clear goal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't do it in a block fashion. What's it called again?
It's called interleaving.
Interleaving learning.
Yeah. So
make sure you're overlapping on what you're learning.
Yes.
You're not learning just single blocks.
Like you still need to learn the A.
Yeah. You still need to learn
A,
portions
B, C
of the block, but make sure they're weaving in and out of each other.
Yes. You want to know why.
Well, that's your goal, right?
Yeah. Well, you have your goal, but you want to know why you're doing it. Is it because you're, it's actual
why
skill?
You have that goal.
Why? Yeah. Okay. If it, or if it's just for a good time. We want to have a mental representation of that.
Right.
So we need to be able to see how it's actually done and then assess our...
See how we are actually doing it.
Yeah.
That's where your video camera comes in. Mm-hmm. If it's physical.
I want you to be thoughtful during your practice, making sure that you're slow is smooth and smooth is fast. So really pay attention to it. And part of that is that beginner mindset. So making sure that you're keeping your brain wide open to gather it up. And then make sure to check back with your mental representation.
Okay. Whoever. And get your sleep.
And get your, oh yes, and get your sleep. Sleep is
for
in there
your,
as well.
For your DMN.
And that's just in general, folks.
There you go.
Get a good sleep cycle.
Okay, there you go. That's it. That's all I got. So take that. And whether it's learning how to sit in lotus position for meditation,
yeah,
or a yoga move, mm-hmm, or play a musical instrument, or how to not yell at your coworker when they take their shoes off in their cubicle. Whatever you're learning.
What?
Patience. You can learn patience.
You can learn patience.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you can apply this to everything,
mm-hmm,
no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Absolutely.
True statement. Okay.
Patience is learned. Any type of skill.
Okay.
You can learn how to walk right.
What? You can.
Mm-hmm.
People walk terribly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I like this. Okay. So take this one. This is episode one of The Morning Struggle. Now you can go.
We went back a
little
bit.
Learn all of these successful habits. Pick and choose whichever you want. A la carte. I like it. That's what we got.
That's it.
Well, thank you everybody for joining us today. This was The Morning Struggle and how to learn. So let's go out there and
build a better you.
Thanks, guys.